This is CBSI in the world. I'm John Batchelor. White Sands, New Mexico. Boeing Starliner spacecraft lands at the U.S. Army's White Sands missile range in New Mexico. The safe return to Earth brings a close to the successful end-to-end uncrewed orbital flight test flown to demonstrate quality and performance of the system. This sensational news from Doug Messier, who keeps Parabolic Arc, and Doug is here with David Livingston, Dr. Space. This is Hotel Mars, Episode N, and we now have a companion for SpaceX's Dragon system to go to and from the ISS. It is not man-rated yet, but it's a big step has been taken. Doug, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. What is the surprise moment here? Was everything nominal, the way NASA used to talk about these tests? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Thanks for having me. Not everything was nominal on this flight, but it hit its target. And the goal was to dock with the International Space Station, stay there for several days, and then land in New Mexico, which it did under parachutes at the White Sands Missile Range. There were a few glitches during the flight. There were some thrusters during the powered ascent that failed. The first one fired for 1 second, the other one for 25 seconds, and then a third redundant one took over and helped the capsule get to orbit. There were also a small glitch during before docking. The docking ring that has to be extended from Starliner was extended, but it didn't extend properly, so they had to retract it and extend it again. But otherwise, the flight went fairly well, and they're evaluating data right now to prepare for a crewed flight that could happen later this year or early next year.
What is the general understanding of these glitches? Is this to be expected? Is this the sort of thing you test for to find these details?
This is why we test. That's the common phrase in the industry. So it wasn't surprising that they had some problems. They had tried to launch this same vehicle in August, and they had a problem with the same thrusters. And the valves were sticking. So they had to make some changes in the valves, and it took a number of months. Now, this has been an expensive process for Boeing. They're many years behind schedule. The original contract was $4.2 billion to develop the system. They've had to take charges against earnings of $595 million due to having to redo this test, because the first test in December 2019 didn't work as planned, and they had the valve problem, which cost, which was part of that as well.
Mr. Livingston, Dr. Space, you have a question for Douglas.
Hi, Doug. I'm curious as to why they brought it to White Sands. What was the reasoning for that? And I recall when the shuttle landed on White Sands, I know the landing is different, but it really ate up the bottom of the shuttle with the material at White Sands. So why White Sands?
That was a plan all along to land in White Sands. I think there's also a possibility of landing in Utah has been discussed. There's dry lake beds there. The way Starliner works is it's got a heat shield that detaches before landing, and then these airbags come out. And I think the theory is it's a little bit easier to get the capsule out of White Sands and back to a processing facility than landing in ocean. So that was the plan all along. And it's the second time we've landed a capsule designed for humans on land.
So the steps now are to go for a manned launch of the Starliner to the ISS. And in order to do that, they need to correct these glitches. They're confident they can correct them in time. I'm just trying to remember the old NASA days. It's been a while. What is the expectation of delays or possibilities?
They're going to look at all the data from the flight, analyze it, try to determine if there's any what fixes it are needed right now. And they're looking to set a date for a crewed flight test sometime in July. So it's going to take a couple months to kind of sort all this stuff out. It may take longer. So it's not clear exactly when they'll fly at this point. Boeing is looking into a redesign of the thrusters that have caused them problems, caused them the delay last year and caused problems on this flight. So they're looking at that. These things, the propulsion systems built by Aerojet Rocketdyne. So that's been kind of problematic. And what happened is that some moisture got into the valves and they ended up kind of corroding them. So there were some steps taken for this flight to address that problem. And we'll see more as the data comes out.
David?
What is the crew difference and training difference between the CST-100 and the Dragon? Do you know?
That's a good question. The Dragon's pretty automated, but I think they go through pretty thorough training before they go up. And Dragon's now flown twice with non-professional astronauts who paid for that. One was an orbital flight, and the other one was earlier this year to the space station. So Elon likes to talk about having these things being very automated and easier to fly than the old Apollo missions, which is true with the technology that we have today.
Doug, we have a new system, a companion to get to and from the ISS. Of note, Boeing doesn't have the launcher the way SpaceX does. It uses ULA Atlas V rocket. Is that
right?
Is that into future, or are they going to need another booster? Is ULA the long time committed booster?
Yeah, ULA is the booster for this. It's a slightly modified version of what they have for satellite launches, and they're going to continue to stay with that. There's only so many Atlas Fives left. They're phasing that out in for the new booster called Vulcan Centaur, and that's supposed to fly maybe later this year. But I think they're going to stick with the Atlas V, and it's a very reliable booster. It's been flying for almost 20 years now, and has never had a catastrophic failure to date. So it's a good choice.
Doug, I take it that there is confidence that the Starliner is about to become operational. Is that the general mood at Boeing?
I think so. I mean, I think they've got glitches and things to look at, but we need a crewed flight test first.
Yeah.
And then once that's done, then you get into operational mode.
David?
Doug, I'm curious because I think there was a comment in your article that it will help keep servicing and maintaining the space station to have two vehicles being able to get up there. Does this take into consideration anything that Russia may or may not do about withdrawing from the space station?
That's a great question. And nobody quite knows right now. I think SpaceX can increase its launch rate. We've seen that. So it'll help a lot to have a second vehicle going up, depending upon what the Russians do. Now, the Russians have talked about pulling out of that station. It's not clear when they're going to do that. It might be 2024. It might be later. So, yeah, having a second vehicle is a good thing for that. There's a number of logistical issues in terms of supply and putting crew and cargo up there that NASA would have to deal with if the Russians pull out. The station right now is going to be operated till 2024. NASA is pushing for 2030. That gets a little complicated if the Russians pull out. Some people think it'll be difficult for the U.S. and much more expensive because it's the lead partner among the partners, along with Russia, and could take a lot, could put a strain on the agency. Other people think it's technically possible. So there's not an easy answer to that. Sorry, I can't be more clear.
Douglas Messier for Parabolic Arc. A Starliner will take the success right now. David Livingston, Dr. Space. This is Hotel Mars Episode In. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.